Major funding for On Point is provided by Liberty Mutual for all your auto, home, life, and business insurance needs. Liberty Mutual. Responsibility. What's your policy?
From WBUR Boston, I'm Tom Ashbrook, and this is On Point. For Barack Obama and Hillary Clinton, the score now stands 2-2. For Obama, South Carolina and Iowa. For Clinton, New Hampshire and Nevada. But in just 8 days, 22 states will vote for a Democratic presidential nominee. It's billed as Super Duper Tuesday, almost a national primary. On Wednesday, we'll look at the Republican field's sprint to February 5th. Today, the Democrats. In his South Carolina victory speech, Barack Obama set the stage for a battle across the country.
And as we leave this great state with a new wind in our backs, and we take this journey across this great country, a country we love, with the message we've carried from the plains of Iowa to the hills of New Hampshire, from the Nevada desert to the South Carolina coast.
And Hillary Clinton, speaking after her South Carolina loss, pointed straight to February 5, Super Tuesday.
And I've always said that this contest was going to go for a long time, as people have dropped out and it's gotten just down to a couple of us. And February 5th has always been, for me, the key.
This hour, On Point, the Democrats' race to Super Tuesday. Joining me from Washington, Peter Hart, one of the nation's leading analysts of public opinion and a prominent Democratic pollster and strategist. He's chairman of Hart Research Associates in Washington. He's run the Wall Street Journal NBC poll since 1989 and was polling right up to the eve of the South Carolina vote. Peter Hart, welcome to On Point. Great to have you.
Thanks so much, Tom.
Also with us from Hanover, New Hampshire, is On Point news analyst Jack Beattie, senior editor at the Atlantic Monthly magazine. Jack, welcome.
Hello, Tom, and welcome to you, Peter.
Peter Hart, first to you, big picture here. On Feb 5 for the Democrats, can the nomination in all that voting with all those delegates on that day, can it be clinched? Can a front runner be cemented? Can the nomination be won or lost a week from tomorrow?
No. Three different questions.
Mm-hmm.
Obviously, with proportional representation on the basis of the vote, I don't think that anybody can secure the number of votes that they need to win the nomination.
Meaning it's not winner-take-all. You'll get delegates depending on how much you win in each state.
Exactly. And I would expect these states to be competitively divided, therefore very difficult to get to the number. But can somebody take hold of this race? I think very definitely so. Too many big states, too many important states. If somebody sweeps the majority or the two-thirds of them, I think at that stage of the game, that individual is going to be in a very, very strong position. But the one thing we need to remember, Tom, and that is this has been a race with nothing but hairpin turns.
Yeah.
And to think that we have reached a straightaway is the biggest mistake we can make. We're only about 24 days from from the Iowa caucus.
Seems like 1,000 years.
It does seem like 1,000 years.
It must be a nightmare for a pollster here. It's been such a dynamic race. You were polling all last week, but then comes South Carolina with Obama's big win and its particular internal makeup. What do you make of what happened in South Carolina and its significance for a week from tomorrow, Peter?
Two things. First of all, I am grateful that I do the NBC Wall Street Journal poll, and I don't have to do states. Therefore, I will be able to at least avoid all of the problems that the polling...
in other words, you're national in that poll.
I'm fortunately am national, so I'm free and clear when all the pollsters are having their difficulties, but it is a challenge. What do I make out of South Carolina? Very simply, it changed the basic dynamic of the race. And the reason it changed the basic dynamic is that the Clintons had, I think, a very strong hold on this nomination process. And essentially what Senator Clinton told us is, I found my voice. And what happened is, instead of building upon her voice and talking about the aspirations and hopes, they turned into brass knuckles politics, and that was her husband. And it didn't stop. It stayed right through Saturday. And I think what happened is there were a lot of people who were both African-American and white liberal moderates who said, too much, too far. And at that stage of the game, instead of Barack Obama winning a small, narrow victory, he won a landslide. And to me, Barack Obama framed the race as future versus past. And he needs to reframe the race, because if it's just experience versus and number of years versus non-experience, I think he loses that race. I think if it's the establishment in the past versus the future and the hope, I think that's a race that Barack Obama can win.
And now Caroline Kennedy, daughter of JFK, climbing on the Obama bandwagon. Ted Kennedy set, we're told, to do the same today. So it continues to be incredibly dynamic race. You do national polling. Does national polling tell us anything with all this dynamism and change within the campaigns and support profile? Does it tell us anything about who's ahead or who's or the likely outcome of Super Tuesday, Peter?
Well, certainly not about Super Tuesday itself, but in terms of the dynamic, it tells us an awful lot. And one of the questions we ask in our NBC Wall Street Journal poll, which was released last Friday, is how well can each of these candidates unify the nation? And what was fascinating is that John McCain, two-thirds of the voters said that they thought he could be successful in unifying the nation. Same for Barack Obama, two-thirds of the voters. Slightly over half, 55%, said Hillary Clinton could. But what was fascinating is among the 45% who said they didn't think she could unite the nation, they voted by 90% to 7% for John McCain over Hillary Clinton. And I think that's one of the key things that she needs to be able to build to, and that is not a sense that I can win micro-targeting, but there is something that is a message that is larger and broader. And I think that she was hitting it for a little bit when she was talking about the aspirations of women and the importance of that. I think the further they get down into the muck, as I would put it, I think the more it diminishes what is a special and important candidacy by Senator Clinton.
Peter Hart, stand by. You're great. We're going to touch down across the country in this hour in big Super Tuesday contest regions and states. But before we begin that, Jack Beatty, what's your take? Here we sit, 8 days to Super Tuesday, lots of dynamic fluidity in this race. We've seen what we've seen. How do you see the Democratic contest shaping up in this very important week, Jack?
Well, I think Democrats from coast to coast will be asking themselves the electability question. I mean, you know, there are no major issue differences between these candidates, no ideological differences. It comes down to electability. Hillary Clinton's argument is, I've been vetted, he hasn't. That intimates that she has opposition research on Obama and or that the Republicans do. But that the idea that she is vetted, Frank Rich, I think yesterday in the New York Times, very successfully rebutted that by saying, we don't know who the contributors to the Clinton Library are. That's just one front where she hasn't been vetted. But beyond that, you know, we do have a sort of empirical test here of the issue of electability. Peter touched on it with the differential in their appeal, candidates' appeals to independents. We also see it in the politicians who've endorsed them. Clinton has been endorsed by senators from New Jersey, Washington, Rhode Island, and California, and the governor of Pennsylvania, all blue states. She's also been endorsed by a senator from Arkansas, home state. But look with Obama, senators from South Dakota, North Dakota, Nebraska, Missouri, governor of Kansas, governor of Arizona, all red states. Those politicians are sending a message on the electability question. They're saying, we would rather run in a state, we would rather have run under a ticket with Barack Obama at its head because we think it would give a better chance for our candidates and for the national party in these red states. That's a very important message.
Peter Hart, we've been told for months and months that what Hillary Clinton had in part sewn up was the Democratic machinery, the sort of stall Democratic Party workers out there, particularly in some of these big states, California, New York, and so on. Do you see that ready to roll for her 8 days from now?
Well, I think she's got a lot of institutional support, but what Barack Obama has shown, which is even more important, is how he's been able to infuse the process with exceptionally eager and interested independents and young people. So I think that has offset what we call the regulars. And I think the Obama message from Saturday night, I thought, was exactly right in terms of being able to set him up for the future. And then, as you mentioned so wisely, the importance of having Caroline Kennedy as well as Senator Kennedy in their corner, because what that does, it opens up a bridge to the Latino vote, which is going to be so critical in so many of these states. And I think up to now, Barack Obama had no sort of endorsement or bridge link. And at this stage, that changes the dynamic. And if that changes, everything changes.
Let's listen to Barack Obama speaking to exactly that point this weekend.
The assumption that Republicans won't cross over. The assumption that the wealthy care nothing for the poor and that the poor don't vote. The assumption that African Americans can't support the white candidate. Whites can't support the African American candidate. Blacks and Latinos cannot come together. We are here tonight to say that that is not the America we believe in.
I'm Tom Ashbrook. This is On Point. We're talking this hour about the Democrats' furious race to Super Tuesday, Obama, Clinton, and the biggest week of the campaign right in front of us. Peter Hart is with us. He's run the Wall Street Journal NBC poll since 1989, leading Democratic pollster and strategist right in the middle of all this. Joins us from Washington. Jack Beatty is here from Hanover, New Hampshire, watching this just as all of us have. Here's Hillary Clinton's new ad running in California, the biggest Super Tuesday state, where she had a 12-point lead in the polls as of last week.
We've got to get serious about ending our dependence on foreign oil. We could create millions of new jobs through new energy. Let's start investing in what I've called a strategic energy fund that will put $50 billion to work with wind and solar and biofuels. And where would I get the money? I would take away the tax subsidies from the oil companies. They don't need your tax dollars anymore.
If you're ready for change, she's ready to lead.
I'm Hillary Clinton, and I approve this message.
Hillary Clinton's ad running right now in California. Peter Hart, Jack Beatty, please stand by. Let's get out into that great big country. Joining us from St. Louis, Missouri, Joe Manis, political correspondent for the St. Louis Post-Dispatch. She's been following the race in Missouri and Kansas. They're both up for decisions a week from tomorrow. Joe, thanks very much for being with us.
Thanks for asking me, Tom.
I know, I think your latest polling is before South Carolina and polling schmolling, but what do you see going on there?
Well, what we do see going on among our voters, and what I want to emphasize to your listeners, is that Missouri is somewhat of a slightly red state, but we're also a bellwether state. We have arguably the strongest record in the country of going with the presidential winner in all but one election over the last 100 years. The person who carried Missouri won the White House. Our most recent poll, which came out of the field last Thursday, had Hillary Clinton 44% among the Democrats polled, Barack Obama 31%, John Edwards 18%. Among 500 Republicans polled, it was John McCain 31%, Mike Huckabee 25%, Mitt Romney 21%, and then Rudy Giuliani 8%. That 2 months ago, Rudy Giuliani had over a quarter of the Missouri Republicans. His support has just collapsed.
Joe, we're going to jump into those Republicans on Wednesday, but help us interpret those Democratic numbers you saw. A record high turnout in South Carolina, about a quarter of white voters there, with John Edwards in the race going for Obama, the rest divided between Clinton and Edwards. Huge African-American turnout for Barack Obama. Do you see the South Carolina example as bending what you've seen so far in Missouri?
Well, Missouri, like the country, is somewhat racially polarized. Our demographics are fairly close to what is in the country. So we have about our African-American vote would make up roughly about 20% of the presidential primary vote on February 5th. But I want to emphasize, we have an open primary, so independents, anybody can take a Democratic ballot, just like anybody can take a Republican ballot as well. So what we're seeing is her support has stayed roughly the same over the last couple months. Barack Obama has picked up a few points since November, but not a ton. Edwards has been pretty stagnant. But again, that doesn't factor in the independents who may be voting. And when we did head-to-heads between the top Republicans and the top Democrats, Barack Obama did the best and defeated all of them. Hillary Clinton defeated all but McCain. She and McCain were in a statistical tie.
And what about Kansas? Joe Manchin, you've got now an endorsement from the governor there, Kathleen Sebelius, for Obama. She's a Democrat who knows something about winning in a red state. But what does Kansas look like in the Obama-Clinton matchup?
Well, right now it's been what Sebelius does could have an impact over there because, again, Kansas is a red state. Their voters, a lot of their voters that would be voting Democratic, a lot of them are on their eastern side of the state. Mm-hmm. So they could actually be feeding off of each other because Kansas City is one of the Democratic strongholds in the state, as is St. Louis. So she could be having an impact there, actually, in western Missouri and eastern Kansas, where a lot of their Democrats are.
She, that is, Kathleen Sebelius, the governor who's now come out for Obama.
I don't believe that's true, is it, Tom? I think that she's doing the response to the State of the Union address tomorrow, and I think she has remained neutral so far.
Okay, I may not be up to date, but I thought I had heard otherwise. Forgive me if I've got that wrong. We'll double-check it right now. Joe Manchin, are you ahead of me on that? Can you clarify?
Well, not quite, because I consider myself fairly well-versed on Missouri politics and on Illinois, but Kansas, which is to the west of us, we don't follow it as closely as much in St. Louis.
We'll track it down. Joe Manchin in St. Louis, thank you very much for being with us.
Thank you very much, sir.
Let's go to our callers. Matt in Somerville, Massachusetts, you're on the air.
Hi, Tom.
Hi.
Did you see the Obama speech on Saturday night?
Not the whole thing, but I saw excerpts of it. What'd you think?
Wow. I was weeping in my room by myself watching this, and I had been undecided up until this moment, and I feel like I got something about the potential of democracy and a visionary leader and the effect that he can have on people. You watch the faces of the people in the audience and the energy in that room. If Hillary Clinton's last name was Hillary Goldberg or Hillary Smith, she'd be a fabulous candidate, but I just feel like I can't tolerate the inevitable reliving of these wars, political wars.
But the Clintons are, the Bill Clinton in particular, warning the country, saying, you know, look for experience, look at this record closely, you know, watch out. He's an eight-year Democratic president, Matt.
I was a huge fan of Bill Clinton, as they said, you know, as James Carville says, what didn't you like about the Clinton era, the peace or the prosperity? But that happened, that was great, and I just can't tolerate the revisiting of all of this divisiveness. And when you watch that speech of Obama's, you get a sense of the, you know, coming back to a vision of America, which I, you know, cynically didn't really feel was possible, but I think I understand now why Carolyn Kennedy endorsed him. And the details of the presidency, you know, we'll see how he does with that, but please God, let him win this nomination.
Matt, we hear you, and thank you for your call. Let's get another from Columbia, South Carolina. Sheldon, you're on the air.
Hi, Tom.
Hi.
I heard Senator Clinton speak at Benedict College here in Columbia.
Yes.
And then the next day, you know, I voted for her, and even though, you know, Barack Obama, you know, took the lion's share of the votes and all that, I still, you know, stand behind her, and I think she's going to do super on Super Tuesday.
So you're still thinking it's in her corner, and is it experience, or what draws you to Hillary, Sheldon?
Experience, because, you know, I look at it, you know, Hillary's got experience. Barack Obama is a good presidential candidate, but he just doesn't have enough experience. You know, Hillary in the Senate Armed Services Committee, Child Defense Fund. Of course, she was in the White House with former President, you know, Bill Clinton. And, you know, and she has her own, you know, as a senator, you know, being elected twice, you know, like that. She's got more experience. So, yeah, basically it's experience that draws me to her.
Sheldon, thanks very much for that. Peter Hart, there we go. I mean, it's the big inspiring vision versus the experience line from these two callers. You know, which trumps in American politics this year?
That's what we don't know, and that's what's so fascinating. I mean, Matt and Sheldon perfectly captured the essence of this race. The challenge for Barack Obama is in part not only to build upon his sort of vision, but it's also to reassure people about his experience. And I think that what he should be saying is sort of more along the lines that if you take the last two most experienced presidents that we've ever had, it would have to be Richard Nixon and Lyndon Baines Johnson, neither of whom made the right decisions on major issues. And John Kennedy and Bill Clinton had much less experience than either of those people, but in terms of their ability to put together a vision and to be able to put things together, they served the country well. So, I mean, I think that's one of the points that has to be made. I think the other side of it is that for Hillary Clinton, to have experience as her trump card is a little bit like having a pair of twos in a poker hand. It's the best until anything else comes along. And I think she needs to be able to get back to a central message, which she seems to be less capable of doing. I thought the ad that you played from California is a little bit more on point, because what she says, if you're ready to change, I'm ready to lead. I think that's a nice way of phrasing it.
Let's go to Sean in New Haven, Connecticut. Hi, Sean. You're on the air.
How you doing? Thank you for taking my call.
Yeah.
I had a question on the specific delegate count on each candidate, because I've been seeing some different numbers reported by different people. And I guess my first question is, do you know what the actual delegate count is to date?
Yeah, we'll look at that. And, of course, Super Tuesday blows a lot of that away. Nearly 1,700 delegates will be awarded on Super Tuesday, a big boost toward that 2,025 needed to clinch the Democratic nomination. Peter, do you have the current tally there in front of you?
I don't. I know that Barack Obama is ahead. I think that he was somewhere in the neighborhood of 59 delegates, if I remember correctly. But it's just such a small part of the whole pie, and I think we have to remember that 20% of the delegates will not be elected by the voters, but will be selected as superdelegates. So there's a long way to go on this in this process, and that's why your point of can somebody gain the momentum out of Super Tuesday, and I think that that will happen.
Let's touch down in another big zone of contest next week. Josh Margolin joins us from Trenton, New Jersey, political reporter at the Star-Ledger. He's there headquartered in Newark, Pulitzer Prize winner, watching New Jersey and right across the border, New York State, Senator Hillary Clinton's now home state. Josh, thanks for being with us.
Oh, thanks for having me.
What does it look like for this Clinton-Obama contest in your neck of the woods, Josh?
It looks like what Peter Hart and some of the other people were saying earlier nationally, that Clinton has the establishment, she has the institutional support, but there seems to be this sense that there's momentum for Obama that may well be undetectable, unknowable, and it may well turn out to be nothing and to peter out come Super Tuesday next week.
What do you see in the South Carolina results? You've got big minority populations in both states, and of course, big white populations watching this contest. How do you read the flux in those views, Josh?
Well, an interesting play was made last week by the Clinton campaign to sort of push off the push into the minority populations. It was floated by one of her top fundraisers that Senator Bob Menendez, the junior senator from New Jersey, could be or might make a good vice presidential candidate. And Bob Menendez is very, very popular, very well known in the Latino community, both in New Jersey and across the river in New York. He's a constant presence in Hispanic media, TV, and radio. And that seemed to be a play to push back against that, to keep the Latino vote going for Clinton. And she's been doing a number of things. She had a rally with Menendez last week in one of his strongholds. So it seems that they are trying to keep the Latino vote for her. she also seems to have the suburban white middle class Democratic vote going in her direction because of the establishment, and so she's reacting to it, and she's making a strong play.
Mm. Let's take a call from Panama City, Florida. Florence, you're on the air.
I love your show, and thank you for taking my call. I have two brief questions.
Yeah.
The first is, I am baffled by Bill Clinton's, with his stature, jumping in the trenches and starting to shovel. That baffles me. Mm. I don't think it has done either Hillary or himself any good. My second question is, many Democrats, for their various attributes, that is Hillary and Obama, are enamored of both of them. What are the prospects of an Obama-Clinton ticket or a Clinton-Obama ticket? Thank you.
Florence, let us pick it up. Peter Hart, first to you. After all the everything that's gone down, could you see a ticket with each of these players on it?
No, and I'll tell you why. I think that Hillary Clinton, I think to put two people who would be, quote, breaking barriers on the same ticket is asking voters to overcome a lot of institutional bias, and I think that neither Obama nor Clinton would head towards the other one. The second thing is that I think that each of them have deficits that they have to fill, and I think that they will not be filled by the other person. Having said that, I think it goes back to another point that Florence made, and that's Bill Clinton starting to shovel. And what we've seen in our polls at this stage of the game, it has not hurt the unity within the Democratic Party. Obama voters do not dislike Hillary Clinton, and Hillary Clinton voters do not dislike Obama. And if this starts to get back into what we had back in 1980 with the Kennedy-Carter fight, I think the Democrats take what's the best year and they hand it back to the Republicans. So it's going to be very important to see what the tone is over the next 2 weeks, because that indeed is going to go a long way to telling us how the Democrats will look at the end. I don't think that that President Clinton can continue at this kind of vitriol and end up with a united party. And I think that it will be fascinating to see how he reacts over the next week, because I'm not sure if he's a lone ranger or if he is indeed the stalking horse for Senator Clinton.
Josh McGarland, let me ask you, we just got you for another minute here, but on that front, Ted Kennedy expected to come out for Barack Obama today. Lots of speculation that that's in part because he sees Bill Clinton as having racialized this race that didn't look so racialized before South Carolina. How does that go down in New Jersey?
Kennedy could really help in New Jersey, again, pushing Obama voters, adding that energy. The problem, though, still is that, for instance, Bill Clinton himself is going to be in New Jersey, I think, tomorrow or the next day, campaigning for his wife. And there is just a tremendous these campaigns now in New York and New Jersey are not like New Hampshire. You can't do enough contact. There's not enough hours in the day to get that done. It's a lot of it is already, you know, preset. A lot of it's media, and it even with Kennedy right now, 8 days out, it's going to be hard pushing that boulder up the hill.
Josh Margolin with the Star-Ledger in Newark, joining us from Trenton, New Jersey today. Josh, thanks a lot for being with us.
Thank you.
I'm Tom Ashbrook. This is On Point. We're talking about the Democrats' furious race to Super Tuesday a week from tomorrow. February 5th, Obama, Clinton, and the biggest week of the campaign is right in front of us right now. Peter Hart joins us from Washington, chairman at Hart Research Associates, big pollster and strategist in the Democratic sphere. Jack Beatty is with us. We heard Hillary Clinton's ad there. Here's a Barack Obama new ad running in Connecticut, Delaware, and Utah, all Super Tuesday states.
This administration has further divided Wall Street from Main Street. You've got CEOs who are making more in 10 minutes than ordinary workers are making in a year.
The bedrock, the foundation of our economy is our workers. The middle class have been treading water or worse.
My plan says let's return some balance to our tax code. Close these corporate loopholes the lobbyists put in.
and let's make sure that tax breaks are given to people who really need it.
There's Obama's ad message out to Super Tuesday states. Let's get a call from Iowa City, Iowa. DJ, you're on the air.
Hey, Tom. Thanks for taking my call. I really like your show. I just want to make two comments. Number one, I listen to your show all the time, and Lanny Davis the other day, past Clinton administration advisor, was totally out of line with you, almost asinine, I wanted to say that. And it reflects the Clinton administration's past attitude.
Hey, it's hot out there. We'll play in the kitchen, hot as it gets.
The other thing I want to say, I watched all of the debates and everything, and I'll tell you one thing that really stands out to me is all the Democrats now, for the last 30, 40 years, liberalism, the icons of liberalism, Clinton, have created an error in management and workplaces and all that where you're scared to even mention anything about race, minorities, anything like that for fear of being called a racist. And now it's so obvious to me that all the commentators and the past Clinton administration advisors and current advisors, they talk about black women, they talk about white women, black men versus white candidates versus black candidates, all race, it's all gender. And if a teacher would say that in the workplace, or a worker would say it, or a manager at the coffee shop or something like that, they'd be labeled a racist in a heartbeat. But now all the Democrats that created this liberalism, this liberal thought, this liberal fear, they're the ones that are talking about race and gender more than any of the issues.
Interesting. Interesting, DJ. Thank you very much for that call. Race, 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 you're hearing. Let's get another from Iowa. Eric in Burlington, you're on the air.
Thanks for taking my call. Most of us are just sick of politics as usual. And the reason why we in Iowa propelled Obama towards the nomination was the fact that even though we're about 95% white, we don't see it as a race thing. We see this as a major change thing. Judgment versus experience, the future versus the same old junk. And the fact is that after Bush and the 2000 election, everything since then, we're all so punch drunk from all this politics that every time Clinton starts to now open his mouth and pound on Obama, it looks like two things. It looks like politics as usual to remind us what the next 8 years would be like if we got Hillary, and that's part of Obama's appeal. The second thing is it looks like Hillary can't fight her own battles, and it's not going to be long before people are going to wake up and say, she easily won JFK Jr.'s potential Senate seat. She hasn't really beaten anybody, and she's barely skated through up to now. So the rank and file old politician, there's just not enough of them left. We need to grow the party. Obama does that with the wind to his back.
Eric, thanks very much for that. Jack Beatty, what do you say? There's the basic kind of contest here that Peter Hart laid out earlier, and we hear it repeated in the comments of callers.
Yes, and I think he raises a good question, which is, Bill Clinton's tumescent narcissism. I mean, it is having the effect of making people think, well, wait a minute now, who's going to be president? Why does she need him to float her campaign? And of course, we're going to imagine 8 years of Bill Clinton going off the reservation or saying whatever he's going to say. No one can say him nigh. Now, on the, Tom, the issue earlier was the issue of Kathleen Sebelius, the governor of Kansas.
Yes.
Was she going to endorse Obama? Well, here is the Atlantic.com. They say that numerous Democratic sources say she plans to endorse Obama Tuesday or Wednesday. The governor's spokespeople said right now all she's focusing on is her response to President Bush.
This week they're saying, but just to clarify, good, we got it there. It's not there yet. Anticipation it may be.
That's right. And now we also have found out that Toni Morrison, who bestowed the accolade on who defined President Clinton as the first black president, she has now endorsed Barack Obama.
Oh, boy. The world is going in many directions at once here. Let's get a call from Sumter, South Carolina. Galvin, you're on the air.
Hello. How are you doing?
Very well.
How are you doing? Sure.
Thank
all right.
You.
All right. What I have to say is that I've kind of confused about the downplay of the win for Barack here. I thought he did very good, but it seems like the media is sort of trying to take a little bit of the sting out of it. Well, it was all right, but, and they studied kind of like upplaying Hillary. So here I've heard a lot of Hillary supporters saying that it was kind of like a disrespectful thing because what she did, they had a party for her here in Columbia, South Carolina.
Yes.
And she was like, she took off to Tennessee. It was like, oh, I didn't get your vote, so I'm gone.
Right.
And I heard a lot of them saying that they felt that was kind of disrespectful on her part.
Galvin, there's a lot of talk about Obama's victory speech there in South Carolina. Did you hear it? What did you make of it?
Oh, man. He made people cry, literally. And someone with that much power that can bring and unify a people, because when I sit at the rally in the crowd and look around, I mean, you see a rainbow of everyone, everybody. And the way he's been running this race, he runs it that way. He runs it with the intention of bringing everybody together versus what I see kind of the Hillary race. I mean, you know, she kind of packs up, the black churches, and she don't target neutral places. You know?
And keeping everybody in their pocket a little more. Galvin, thank you very much for that call. Peter Hart, how about it? There was an enormous turnout in South Carolina and an enormous African-American turnout. Can this race, should it, will it, will the outcome there be minimized as a racial vote? Or you know, what do you see in the breakdown of those numbers?
Well, certainly in the breakdown of those numbers, you see two things. One is the inspiration of Barack Obama indeed getting more votes individually than had voted in the past. And that's a remarkable achievement. And number two, obviously, that the pre-election polls had suggested that he would get a sliver of the white vote. And what you found out is in a three-way race, he got 25% of the white vote. And so it suggests that indeed his ability to be competitive and to go back to the earlier things that Joe was talking about in Missouri, and that is the fact that he was behind something like 44-31 suggests to me that obviously he's doing Barack Obama's doing well with the white vote there, and I think that you'll see on Super Tuesday he will be very competitive with the white vote, and a lot to play out, and certainly for Calvin down in South Carolina, this victory by Barack Obama, I think, has been played as large as anything else. And I think the mistake that President Clinton made was sort of minimizing it and suggesting it was no different than Jesse Jackson's victory 20 years ago, and indeed quite different.
Here's Bill Clinton making, in effect, his wife's concession speech after the loss in South Carolina, saying he looked forward to Super Tuesday.
He won fair and square. We went there and asked the people to vote for us. They voted for him. We congratulate him. Now we go to February 5th when millions of Americans finally get in the act.
Let's go to a great big state in that February 5th millions, California. Sherry Bebich Jeffy joins us from Los Angeles, professor at the University of Southern California, political analyst for KNBC4 in Los Angeles. Sherry, thanks a lot for joining us.
Hi, Tom. Thanks for having me.
Now, we know it's all in play. We know it's very dynamic. But how does it look at this point, 8 days out in California for Super Tuesday?
Well, the latest polls still have Hillary Clinton with a double-digit lead, 12 points in the new field poll, but that's way down from about a 35-point lead in October. So there's a sense out here that she may well win the popular vote, but what the Obama campaign appears to be doing is fighting district by district for delegates, and as we've seen in Nevada, that's a whole different number.
370 delegates in California, 232 in New York, 153 in Barack Obama's Illinois. So even if Barack Obama, let's say, would not take the overall victory there, does it look to you as though he could come out with a substantial number of delegates?
It does look to me as though he could come out with a substantial number of delegates. Remember, ours on the Democratic side is a proportional representation by congressional districts. Both candidates, interesting, are using techniques that you might see in the smaller states, in Iowa, in New Hampshire. They've got phone trees going. They're out walking precincts. It's kind of delicious to watch. It's been a long time since we've had this kind of action in the state of California. Usually, they zip in, rob the ATM, and zip out again.
And what about their organizations, Sherry? Does Hillary's really Trump Obama's in its scale or not?
No, it doesn't appear to me like one is ahead of the other. Both appear to be very well organized. I will tell you, one of my colleagues at school went to Las Vegas on a bus that was chartered by the Clinton campaign to work the caucuses in Las Vegas. The communication from both of these campaigns, it's a marvel to watch. They are both using the new technology, and they're both focused on California.
Oh, everything cranked up to high rev here. Sherry, stand by. Let me get a call from Vivian in Medford, Massachusetts. Vivian, you're on the air.
Hi, Tom.
Hi.
Well, the reason I'm calling is that I wanted to give you my perspective as a Hispanic, a Cuban-American.
Yeah.
I live in Florida. I live in Massachusetts now, but I live in Florida for 21 years.
Yeah.
And I also have a lot of family members and friends that I visit in California. So concerning the Kennedy endorsement.
Yes, of Obama, today we're told.
Right, right. I don't think that is a positive thing for Hispanics, really, for Barack Obama.
Really? Senator Ted Kennedy was the analysis was he's been very strong for immigration reform. That's put him in good stead with Latinos, so he should help Obama. You say not. Why?
No. Why? Because remember something. Do you remember the Bay of Pigs?
Yes.
Okay.
I wasn't exactly there, but I do recall.
Right.
Yeah.
I wasn't either because I was, I think, 16 years old anyway, but the way the Hispanics and mostly people that are related to the Cuban-American families and ancestors and everything, they think that what the Kennedy did at that moment was he didn't do what he promised, that he was going to be there for the people that wanted to liberate Cuba from Castro.
So if Caroline Kennedy looks to pass the JFK crown to Obama, well, things come with that, maybe including Bay of Pigs. Vivian, thank you for your call.
Tom?
Sherry Bebich-Jeffy in California, what about the Latino vote?
Well, I beg to respectfully disagree with your caller's analysis with regard to Latinos in California. She talks specifically about Cuban Americans, and I believe that there is some truth in her analysis with regard to the lack of power of the Kennedy endorsement among Cuban Americans. But out here among Latinos, particularly older Latinos, interestingly, who are probably more likely to vote, there is a true love both for John F. Kennedy and for Robert Kennedy. Robert Kennedy walked with Cesar Chavez during the farm worker strike. There are houses which still have photos of both the former president and Robert Kennedy up on the walls. This Kennedy endorsement, this double endorsement, could have a unique impact in California. And it's not only on Latino voters, but it's on, shall we say, those of us who are baby boomers and remember John F. Kennedy and Robert Kennedy, and within the Democratic Party itself, the activists who came up through the activism of the 60s.
Peter Hart, let me ask you, you speak of Latinos in California, it's huge. In Florida, it's huge. What about this weird Florida factor? They pushed their primary up. The Democratic Party said, in that case, we don't seat your delegates. We won't campaign there. Nevertheless, it's become a kind of a ersatz contest, and Hillary Clinton is saying now seat the delegates is sort of reaching in. Is she playing fair?
Well, I don't know if she's playing fair, but she's certainly playing to win the nomination, and that game has been played very often. And the point that Sherry makes, which is, of course, you look at the Latino vote, and it is such a diverse vote. It is Mexican American in California. It's Puerto Rican along the East Coast. It's Cuban down in Florida. Haitian. So you have an awful lot of combinations, and it's not a simple vote. What I'm fascinated about is and I'd say to Sherry, what does Hillary Clinton need to do during these 8 days to cement California? I mean, you know it so well, and you've seen sort of how the dynamic has been playing. What should her campaign look like in the next 8 days?
Sherry in L.A., we've got a minute. What do you say?
Oh, God. Thank you all.
Sure.
She's on the air, and that's it. I think at this point in time, she needs to focus on her base. She needs to get out women. She needs to get out Latinos. And having said that, Obama needs to focus on having Latinos get to know him, because the Latino community doesn't know enough about Obama. Hillary's got to look at older voters. Seniors are among her best groups. It's ironic, Peter, that here we are talking about this humongous state, and it may all come down to good old get out the vote. I am really fascinated to see how that works in this behemoth of a state of California. I think she's got to, to be perfectly frank, I think she's got to pull back Bill. The people that I've talked to, Democrats that I've talked to, and Republicans, to tell you the truth, are somewhat incensed at the way he's been handling himself.
And that's all we're going to get today. A giant state headed for a giant day in a big hurry. Sherry, we want to talk with you again. We really appreciate your joining us today. Sherry Bevich Jeffy, thanks for being here from USC and analyst there for KNBC in Los Angeles. Peter Hart, wonderful to have you. Thank you for joining us.
I'm honored. Thanks, Tom.
Jack Beatty, thanks for being here, my friend.
Thank you.
I'm Tom Ashbrook. This is On Point.